Are you ready for this?
Sean Merriman, a one-hand sack. Boom, 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 out go the lights.
This is Lights Out with Sean Merriman.
What's up, guys? We're back again on the Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. Got a great guest today, former Dallas Cowboys strong and free safety. I didn't know now that he was moved over by Bill Parcells and asked to do more things. But Roy Williams, man, came in 2002, played safety there with the Dallas Cowboys, and one of my favorite guys to watch as I was coming in and drafted in 2005 was just coming downhill, man, and bringing the heat. I mean, this dude really, really brought the wood. And what I call one of the last of the dying breed, where you got guys who just come and play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And somehow, some way, they implemented that damn horse collar rule. And that was one of the guys I believe that they might have been targeting. At least he feels that way anyway. But he's doing a bunch of great stuff now. Just talking about the Dallas Cowboys now, man, and what they're putting on film and the lack of effort. And how the locker room is different than when he played and how the locker room and the team is playing now. And so it's not something that he's accustomed to and he's been accustomed to. And he's saying it's a lack of effort. I said the same thing. They're just showing a lack of effort right now and got to get it together. So, again, Roy Williams. Man, you still look like you can come downhill a little bit right now.
Oh, I can come downhill. That ain't ever going anywhere, man. You know, I got that. You have to be able to do that.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and jump in it, man, because I got some stuff now. Because I used to watch you a lot, man, especially when I came into the league. And
okay. You
always have, like, these, you know, guys you look at, no matter what position they are. But when they go out there and they start cracking skulls, you're like, man, I'm going to watch that dude because that's – you know, that anybody who – guys like you who made me want to play football, man, was coming downhill, you know, just played the game the right way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I look at today's game now, and people ask me all the time, would I still be able to play? And I said, probably not. I don't think so. You think you can play in today's game?
No, I can't. Not one bit.
Because these rules – you know, you wanted to see them to – taking care of guys, right? You don't want to see anybody get hurt or injured. You know, all the helmet stuff. Great, I got it. You want to protect guys as much as possible. But hell, man, at the same time, still, it's still football. You know, you got to let guys go out and play.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's – I actually had some troll on Twitter talk about he posted an old – 07 or 06 clip of Donovan McNabb and a horse collared him, and he was like, oh, you're a dirty player. And I decided to lay into him. You know, I had to let him know, like, look, first off, my first 5 or 6 years in the league, the horse collar wasn't even a thing. And I said, it's crazy how in the 100 years that the football has been around, all of a sudden the NFL wants to deem that a dirty play, and now I'm a dirty player. So what about the guys that came before me? Are they dirty players too? Like, come on. Like, come on, dog. Like,
right.
They're trying to get rid of me.
Do you know they always need an excuse. They always need a reason. But you know,
I gave him one.
Right. But okay, so this is the thing. I always said this. I hate when a younger player, like when I'm playing or something like that, or another guy that came in like during our era and you have a guy that played like in the early 90s. And they'll say, oh, these guys are soft nowadays and this. I was like, dude, look, the game's moved on, you know, and I always looked at the older guys as haters, right? Like, come on, dude, like the game, okay, yeah, the game's changed, but there's no need to really come and step down on the guys in today's game. But now me being retired, you know, for all these years, I'm looking at the game now, and I'm like, man, that's soft. They can't call that. So now I'm putting myself in the same situation as one of the older guys. I'm like, damn, did I just get old real quick or what happened?
Yeah, it's watching today's game. I mean, they just have to conform to the new rules. I get that. But what I grew up on was Steve Atwater, yep. Ronnie Lott, you know what I mean, Darren Woodson, John Lynch. Those are the guys I got to watch. And Ronnie was leading with his forearm. What was I doing? Leading with my forearm. I mean, I was doing everything that I watched the guys before me do. And so nowadays, I mean, like, if you think about it, if you see a hard hit in the league now, the first thing a defender does, he looks up and he looks to the side either to the left or right, wherever he's at or where the ref was at, to see if he got a 15-yard penalty. That's not football.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's not football.
I say the same thing. And people don't understand that you got a split second, right? So you're seeing a guy there, you see somebody catch the ball or run or whatever it is, and you got a split second to make a decision. And what's going on in my head is, I want this guy on the ground by any means necessary. If I got to run through you, if I, you know, got to hit you with certain parts of my head, whatever it is, I want this guy, and you want to punish him. And I want to make the distinction between trying to hurt somebody and then letting them know that you're there. You're not trying to go out and intentionally, you know, hurt anybody, because they got families and they got a career. But if it's fair game, man, I'm getting you on the ground by any means necessary, period.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the way I played the game. It's by any means necessary. I mean, I let my teammates knew, you can even get it. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, I had friendly fire a ton of times. It wasn't intentional, but I mean, I hit Darren Woodson, I hit Terrence Newman, I hit Keith Davis, I hit Anthony Henry, Aaron Glenn. I mean, I hit a whole bunch of guys on accident, but they were close. I got the other guy too, but you were just, hey, you got hit by some friendly fire.
I was just about to say a friendly fire. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you go in between those white lines, it is on. There ain't no, I mean, there is no prisoners. I mean, you're out for, I was out. I can only speak for myself. I was out for blood.
Right. No, 100%. So I came in, I was drafted in 05. And see, I don't know if you knew this or not, but you know, I was supposed to be drafted by you guys when you were playing. So,
really?
Yeah. So what happened was, right before the draft, you guys got that. You didn't make a wrong pick. You got DeMarcus Ware. It wasn't like they made a mistake. But so when I came there doing the draft, before the draft, they brought in like their top 10 to 15 guys that they were looking at in the first round. Yeah. So they flew us all out to Dallas, and I was there on my visit. And we're all in the locker room. You got all the guys end up going somewhere in the top 15. So I'm down there just everybody else. They're showing us the locker room, showing us the facility. And one of the things I saw on there, I saw Larry Allen. So we came in there, and you guys working out one day, and we was in the gym. I lied to you not. I saw Larry Allen throw four plates on there. I didn't see him warm up, and he cranked that thing out four or five at like at least 10 or 15 times. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I said, "Holy shit! Is this what I have to face when I get up here? This is wild." I didn't know how strong he was. So we go through the gym, and while watching all the guys work out, I'm seeing everybody up close for the first time. So we walk through the locker room, and next thing I know, somebody came and grabbed me from downstairs, and they said, "Hey, Parcells and Jerry Jones, they want to see you upstairs." So first thing you think that when something happens, I said, "Okay, what did I do wrong?" Right? The first thing to go through my head, I'm like, "Okay, what did I do wrong?" Because everybody else downstairs, they said they want to see you up in the office. So I said, "Okay, cool." He walked me upstairs, and Jerry Jones and Bill Parcells are sitting there in the office, and we get to talk, and they said, "Look, we got the 11th pick of the draft. Now, we don't think you're going to be there at 11. We think you'll be somewhere in the top five, top eight." And I said, "Okay, cool." But they said, if you're there by the 11th pick, we're going to draft you. Cool. And I was sitting there like, oh, you know, I didn't think that they were going to tell me the way they did. They said, no, if you're there by 11th pick, we're going to draft you. I'll never forget Bill Parcells, the first thing he said to me. He said, "Sean, when you get here, I'm going to work the hell out of your ass." And so I'm thinking in my head, I'm 20 years old, man. I'm like, man, I'm not trying to come in and play for no damn Bill Parcells. Because, you know, you heard about him, how he was and everybody else back in the day. And he coached Lawrence Taylor and a lot of great players. And sure, you would just hear how he went at everybody. And I got my first dose of Bill Parcells in that office. He said, "Yeah, when we draft you, soon as you get here, we're going to work the dog piss out of you." And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, oh, my. So you played – I mean, you played – how was he, man? Like,
it was – I love Coach Parcells, man. I didn't like the fact of when he came in, he literally just came up to me and was like, "You're not going to be a one-dimensional safety. You're going to have to play cover two," which I can do that. I didn't like to do that because I like to pop my pads. I like to get in there and get messy with the big guys. But I mean, I did that. And I mean, I would say I was one of his guys. I truly was. I was his style of play guy that he liked. Hard nose, brought the wood, you know, didn't have any quit, any of that. I was one of his guys. And he used to always have these little sayings. Like one, he would say to Tony Romo. So he would say, "You're like a football in high weeds. You're lost." Or so he would have all these little sayings, man. And he used to always tell me, it was me, only a few people, me, Larry Allen, and like Darren Woodson. And he used to always come up to us and just whisper, "I got one good fight left in me. Don't make me use it on you." But that was Coach. And back to Larry Allen, that was Larry's warm-up, without a doubt. I experienced the same thing that you experienced. He'll throw 3-4 plates on there, boom, 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 done. You know what I mean? And but that was just Larry. Larry was a different animal. And there was one time we were practice. I was blitzing from Larry's left. I was coming from the right. I was coming on his left. He literally, shit you not, he was backing his stance, and all he did was go like this. And I swear to God, I flew about 5 yards sideways in the air. Larry was so damn strong, dude. It's crazy.
It was next level. And that, so I think it was either 2005 or 2006 or 2007. I believe you guys had at least 5 or 6 plus Pro Bowlers on that team, mm-hmm. Right? It was one of the years. And I'm kind of seeing what's going on there now. And I understand it. The way it looks to me with the Cowboys is that they're not playing for the coach, or the coaching staff, or whatever that is. But, you know, I've been on teams where, you know, you got Lorenzo Neal, LaDainian Tomlinson, Phillip Rivers, Nick Harwood, Chris Dillon, you know, all these guys that Jamal Williams. Like, if you wasn't doing what you're supposed to do, the players kind of controlled the locker room. So how was it when you guys were playing? If something was going on right now with the team, because that didn't happen when you were there. If something like that was going on right now, what would that locker room be like?
The locker room, I mean, you don't let family business outside the locker room. That's football 101. That's code. You know what I mean? You don't air out family business, regardless of what the situation is. That's just the way I was brought up. Today's age and what's going on now with the Cowboys is, I mean, I think the coaches lost the locker room. And they're at a disarray. It's like, nope. It's basically players versus coaches, the way I'm feeling. You know what I mean? And their play is rebelling, regardless of the outcome of the games and how they're looking. I'm sorry, I couldn't step on the field and look like that. Even if we're getting beat, I'm gonna be roughhousing all the way to those double zeros in the fourth quarter. I don't care what it is. But what they're doing right now on the football field is, I mean, it's a disgrace to them, it's a disgrace to the organization, and it's a disgrace to the coaching staff. I don't know what needs to happen. I don't know if the coaches need to be relieved or some of the players need to be relieved, but somebody needs to drop that hammer and let it be known, like, this is unacceptable. I mean, every NFL team, any given Sunday, like we all know, can win, but they can't win the way the Cowboys have been losing. Like, I mean, it's very sad to watch them, no effort. Like, how do you suit up on an NFL team and not have zero effort? You know what I mean? Like, at what point does somebody just get a 15-yard penalty just to show some aggression to get everybody fired up?
No doubt. And I said the same thing. And I remember that when we started off 1-3 and 2007, just 1-3. I mean, Phillip Rivers, we kicked all the coaches out the meeting room, and we got after it. I mean, you got guys mother effing each other, we got after each other. And that, to me, all the great teams, and we finished up 13-3 that year. But to me, that's what the great teams do. Like, the players always ran the locker room. Like, we had coaches that everybody didn't agree with or didn't like as much or whatever. But as you said, like, that film is still on. So whatever you put on film, whether you're going to be playing for the team or not, like, that next team looking at you, dogging it on the play, not running sideline to sideline or quitting or getting blocked and being okay with it. And what pissed me off the most is when Andy Dalton got hit, right, when that late hit. For me, if somebody was to hit Phillip Rivers, then it would have been a fight. I would have got a fight. I would have got ejected. Something was going to happen. Well, that very next play, if he wasn't ejected, we were coming after him, period. Because we wasn't going to let that slide.
Exactly. Without a doubt. I mean, I'm surprised the offensive lineman didn't run over there and jump on top of dude. Dak is out. You know what I mean? Now he's quarterback one. You have to do everything to protect him. You know, regardless of how the season's going, how the game's going, that forget quarterback one. That's your brother.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's family. I don't care if I didn't get along with somebody, but that's my guy. You know what I mean? And just because I pick on him, I don't like him, that doesn't mean you can mess with him. Like, and that's not there. Like the togetherness, the familyness, the brotherhood. I mean, that to me, it's out the window. Like, I mean, nobody got, I mean, we fighting. It's like those fighting words. Like, we fighting.
100%.
Even lights out. Let's go. Ding, ding. Let's go.
It was on. But that to me, that told me a lot on where the team was and how they felt about each other, because either we get our ass kicked out there, you hit the quarterback late and you, that kind of hit, man, where you can change somebody's career type of deal. That game is not going to be able to resume. Like, people getting ejected, people getting fined, and we all going to be happy about it to let it be known that it's not going down like this. But when guys are out there and you're okay, like, I look at the sidelines out there and I see nobody yelling at each other. I see nobody getting in each other's faces, like nothing. And on top of that, as you said before, you got guys that are airing out, family business, locker room business to reporters that we all know that's a no-no. And one thing that I always try to tell players, that if you're talking to a reporter or somebody on the side, you got to understand they have more of an allegiance with the ownership and the front office. So you think that that's going to be a one-on-one conversation? They're going to go back up and tell who it is.
Oh, without a doubt.
Even when they tell you they're not. Even when they tell you that they're not going to go up and, oh, it's between us. It's never between us. They got that allegiance to that general manager, to that owner, and they will literally do everything they can to find out which player it was that are leaking the business.
Yep. And they should be gone. Yep. Straight up. I mean, that's just how I feel. I mean, it's just right is right and wrong is wrong. And that they were all in the wrong. I don't care what happens. I don't care if you get cut. You know what I'm saying? You still don't talk about things that you have. I mean, there should be some type of confidentiality within your brotherhood. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, there was a play like in 07 or 06, 07, I think it was 07, that I get blamed for, and I take the blame, and I would never mention the guy's name whose fault it really was. Like, I mean, I took all the blame. Like, I mean, from that day on, I was deemed a person that couldn't cover, I couldn't do this. And it wasn't even my man. I was in switch coverage, and I had the tight end over 10 yards. And which the team did, I mean, they literally ran the tight end 12 yards right by me. So I had to take them. You know what I mean? And so I got blamed for the deep ball. I mean, they came back. It was Washington Redskins. They came back and beat us. Santana Moss went over the top. And I had Chris Cooley. And I get blamed for it. And I don't even mention my teammate's name that had him. You know what I mean? It's like, no, I'll take it. I'll eat it. I mean, whatever. As long as you guys know that wasn't my responsibility, but I'll take it. And I still didn't even talk about my teammate, that whose man it really was. I don't even say his name. That's just cold. You know what I mean?
But that's what not only good teammates do, but good teams do. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's going to come out. The first thing, if we lose something like that, the first thing I would come out and say, look, I need to get to the quarterback. You know, the quarterback had too much time. It's not that all the blitz was this. And, you know, I seen a couple of guys came out of the locker room on the defense side of the ball for the Cowboys. And he basically said that the defense is too complex, right? That they need to, like, dumb down the defense, which he probably was right. I mean, 100%, he probably was right in what he said, that they need to let guys go out and play football. And I had Wade Phillips on just a few weeks ago. And Wade, you know, Wade's my guy, man. I love Wade. I still say, look, Wade put me in so many great positions to go out and make plays But yeah. I knew the first time that the quarterback had too much time or somebody had too many passing yards on us, I was like, look, man, we got to get to the quarterback, or I got to get to the quarterback. And that's what good teams do, not throwing guys under the bus, man. This is – I don't think I've ever seen, especially from the Cowboys, man, and just the defenses you guys had. And I still talk to DeMarcus Ware here and there too. And the type of teams you guys had from like 02 on to, I think it was like 2008 or 9 or something like that, where you guys just stacked, had a ton of talent. And yep. I never seen anybody on that team that you guys had put what's being put on film right now. What's going on right now is just atrocious.
It is. It's difficult to watch. I mean, it's at the end of the day, even if the defense is complex, at the end of the day, the rules of a defense is tackle the ball carrier. And there is no excuse for effort when it comes to being a complex defense or not. All you got to do, you know what? Go to the ball and go tackle the ball carrier. Regardless of the yardage that they get or a negative play that you make, doesn't even matter. At the end of the day, it's X's and O's, tackle the ball carrier. Instead of, you know, saying that it's coaching, making it too complex, how about you reach in between your legs, see if you feel anything, and if you do, you need to man up. I mean, that's just the way I was brought up. I had Mike right. Zimmer. You know what I mean? I had Mike played. Zimmer.
Yeah.
I had broken pieces of a nose from a punter's nose in my knee, and it was hurting like crazy. And you know what Mike Zimmer said? He said, "You all right?" He was like, "You fucking right, you all right. Get your ass back in the game." Broken knee. I had broken pieces of cartilage from a punter's knee in my knee, and he was still putting me back out on the field. I mean, that's just the way it was.
Right.
I mean, I did. I mean, I ain't about to tell my coach, no, shoot, man up, let's go.
You got you know to, man. I mean? But see, that's why, and that's the way I knew about it. You put fingers back in place, you dislocate your shoulder, you go on the sideline, bite a towel, put that thing back in place, you run back on the field. You know, that's the mentality we had, and I'm trying to stay away from being the old guy now. Like, hey, you guys are soft, you don't want to do that. But it's like, man, you got these guys with big contracts, you know, and I love to see guys get paid. With DeMarcus Lawrence got that contract. Yeah, I don't even know him that well or whatever. Being a former defensive player, and you see somebody score that big, you like, yo, that's outstanding. You love to see guys get paid. But then you see him going out there and go several weeks without getting a sack. You're like, yo, listen, you better go earn that money, dog. You know, because you messing it up for other people. You know, they're going to stop paying guys if you disappear.
Yep, they're going to claw that back if you don't produce. I mean, I'm all for guys getting paid. I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing. It's a long time coming. But your play, honestly, your play has to back it up. You know what I mean? And your effort has to back it up. And your leadership has to back it up. And those three things have not been displayed through the organization thus far every game that they played. I mean, it hasn't. They have no leadership. They have no heart. They have no desire. They have nothing right now. They're just guys out there on the football field running around with their heads cut off.
How do they fix that though? You get rid of coaches at that point? You start getting rid of guys? Like what need to happen?
I honestly don't know how you fix the number one problem starting off with, and that's heart. How do you fix heart? How do you fix effort? That's why I said the coach, it's way past the coaches. I mean, it's the locker room is lost. Because at the end of the day, I don't know why, and they may have these conversations, but even if they have these conversations, their play and the film that they leave for the next opponent, they see no effort. They see no heart. It's like, you know, when you see an offensive lineman that gives you some tips that you know you can, you know, take advantage of, you licking your chops. Every team right now on offense are licking their chops to play the Cowboys. Cause they know that's an easy $150 rushing. That's three bills passing. You know what I mean? They are licking their chops. It's like at the end of the day, you have to man up and play. I'm not being old school or anything. It's about pride at the end of the day. It's like the star that's on the side of your helmet, whatever team it is, or the nameplate on the back of your jersey, that should mean something. like my, when I played, my biggest thing was do not get embarrassed on national televised TV because I know my boy's going to clown me.
Yep.
And I do not want to let my family down. That was it. And I wanted to knock somebody out and laugh with Darren Woodson about it. That was it. My rules, my stuff was simple. It was so simple. And they don't have that fire. Like, I don't understand why they don't have that fire. Like, dude, I played 9 years. That 9 years went by so fast. Like, do not take these years for granted because you're not going to be able to give them back. So you have to make the most of every opportunity and every with every game that they play, they are letting opportunities slip away. It is hard to get to the playoffs. It is not an easy thing. And their play, I mean, it's just like they do not care. I don't know how you fix that. I truly don't. And it's not going to help from a coach's perspective because the coaches haven't done anything thus far that proves to me that they're even their relationship's even salvageable, you know? So I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it is crazy. So what else you got going on, man? Because I know you got the security company, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, tell me a little bit about it.
So I'll rewind. So when I was playing in Dallas, I always wondered why guys moved back to their college towns. And there was an opportunity for me to go to Columbus, Ohio, and I seen Eddie George at restaurants, he had real estate. And I was like, you know what? When I'm done playing, I'm gonna move back to Oklahoma. I don't know what's gonna happen, but something's gonna happen, you know? And so after I played my 2 years in Cincinnati, I moved back to Dallas, and I just felt like it was a dark cloud over Dallas, just the way how that whole thing ended. I was like, I gotta go. So I left, packed my stuff, moved down to Oklahoma, and I was doing some sideline reporting at OU. Wasn't really for me because I didn't want to have to go back over film study, learn people's names, and I just didn't want to do it. Just couldn't do it. And then I was talking to my cousin one day, and I told him that I think I want to get some investment properties. And he was like, well, you need to meet one of my clients. And so I met Bill at one of his properties, and we were talking, and one thing led to another. He asked me what I wanted to do. And I was like, I think I want to get some investment properties. I want to be in business. I want to be my own boss. And asked him what, you know, he was doing. And he's like, well, I owned a security company before. I'm thinking about getting back into the security business. And literally God put it on my heart to speak. And I spoke and I said, well, do you want another partner? And he was telling me about, you know, his falling out with his partner. And I told him a little bit about my backstory as far as having some fallouts with some dudes back in Dallas. We met about 6 or 7 different times and we started our company. And we founded our company in 2012. Around that time, we probably had about 20 employees. We were operating about 3 states. And now today we're in 25 states and have over 2,000 employees.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big, man. So how can people look it up? Well, how do you guys get in, you know, the bulk of your business, like referrals, or what's going on?
It's pretty much word of mouth.
Okay.
Because it's actual physical guards. Like, so at an office building or the stadium or anywhere you see security guards, that's pretty much the arena. And we stay away from like 7-Elevens and high risk areas where liability is high. So like nightclubs, 7-Elevens, just liquor stores, anything that has high risk and liability, we try to stay away from that. So we do a lot across the different states, and we actually have government contracts as well. So we work for the government also, but globalsecuritycorporation.com is the website. I mean, that's how you can easily, and I'm on LinkedIn and all the other social media stuff. So I'm easily accessible for sure.
That's dope, man. I always try to tell guys, because it's not easy. I don't know if you had it, but my first 2 years, even I went straight into the broadcasting thing, I was still sitting back like it didn't feel right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know whether like mentally I couldn't move past the game right away, or like I didn't know what it was. Maybe I felt like you see guys out there, you sitting on the couch like, yeah, I can go do that right now. You know, maybe you're watching guys and know you can still play. But I wasn't really comfortable, man, until about 2 years of being done. you know, even when I was behind the booth, and I, some days I didn't want to watch football. Like, I didn't want to turn the TV on. I still had to talk about it. So I watched just enough and knew, as you said before, the guy's name. So I, you know, so a guy made a play, I can go and talk about it the next day. But I just didn't feel comfortable because those first 2 years, that transition, I don't know what it was for you, man, but for me, it was a little bit difficult.
Yeah, well, for me, it was honestly, the way I played was, I mean, I really didn't watch much football because I just loved to play the games. And I didn't really watch much film. I mean, not film, but like actual games. I studied my film, but as far as watching games, that wasn't me. I just wanted to play football and have fun. That was literally it. And around 06, 07, when they implemented the horse collar tackle, I mean, that honestly sucked the life out of me for football. I felt that they were literally targeting me, and it wasn't fun for me anymore. It's like having a pit bull and you have that beware dog sign on the door, and a burglar tries to come in and the dog attacks him, doesn't doing his job, and then you reprimand the dog. I mean, that's how I felt. It's like, dude, I came into this league, I was here to knock people out, and then all of a sudden now you guys want to penalize me for what you guys brought me here to do. Like, I mean, it just wasn't fun anymore. So, you know, my last 2 years in Cincinnati, I mean, I was blessed to get two more years, but just wasn't fun for me anymore. So when I retired, I was done. Like, I was done. I didn't watch. I mean, I'd literally probably last year was the first year I really start just watching and just seeing schemes and see how they're, you know, attacking people. But no, I was done. Like, I was so done. I mean, it's honestly, to this day, football is really not even enjoyable to me to watch because it's not my style of football. I mean, it's more of a fluff NFL than what I was brought up on.
Well, dude, I tell you, man, the game missed guys like you. I mean, coming up and being drafted in 05, and I think you came in 01, 02, right? 01 or 02, yeah. 02, yeah. And just seeing you and just one of the guys I enjoy watching, man. So I appreciate you for coming on. And I got to get out there, man, one of these days. I've been out there a couple days, and a couple friends of mine have they're in the casino business. They got that big casino out there. So I got to make my way out there sometime soon.
Come on. Most definitely. I appreciate the love and respect, my brother. Mutual respect for you as well. I mean, I don't but you are more than welcome to come out here to Oklahoma. I got a lot of land out this way, and I mean, we can do a lot of hunting.
Okay, let's do it. I'm in.
We'll go hog hunting with the dogs and nothing but knives, no guns.
Oh, I'm with it. I'm with it. Yeah. I'm with it. Yeah. All right, my man. Hey, appreciate you again, dude. Thank you.
No problem, family.
Okay, you got it. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for listening in. Another podcast on the Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. And that was great, man, to have Roy Williams on. He literally was one of the last of the dying breed of guys who came in before they started to implement a lot of the new rules in the NFL. As I always say, I don't want to be one of the old guys and say, oh, you know, the game is soft now. The game is different. I wouldn't necessarily call it soft, but the game is different. Guys like him, guys like me could not play in today's game. I can tell you that much. But he has a ton of great stuff going on, has his security company in Oklahoma. He's also offered for me to come out there. I've never been hunting before, so maybe my first hunting trip will be with Roy Williams, one of my favorite players to watch. Again, thank you guys for listening. I appreciate all the reviews. Keep checking us out and just leaving us comments and reviews, man. We're getting some great feedback, and we're going to turn this thing up again next week. Thanks again.